our journey as believers isn't always understanding what the Word wants us to do. It's understanding our own hearts and where we're failing to do what the Word says to do. So we're going to talk today about the leaven of pride. The leaven of pride. And so it's so hidden and it's hard to detect sometimes. And we have to really be diligent to understand the motives and purposes of our own hearts. Just like leaven in bread causes the bread to puff up, pride causes us to puff up. And there's a big old loaf of bread there, very tall and lifted up there in the picture. And that's kind of what pride is all about, puffing yourself up in some way and trying to make yourself something that you're not. And we're trying to remember now this feast of unleavened bread, of seeking out the things that our Heavenly Father calls leavening, pride. You might say that pride is kind of under the surface of almost every sin there is. You ever seen the scratch and sniff stickers, you know? Yep, there's pride in that one too. And so Yahweh wants to shine this light on some dark part of our heart. And there's multiple reasons why pride can manifest itself. Sometimes even shyness, while it looks like humility, is pride. Shyness can be pride. Oh, I'm afraid of saying anything. People make fun of me, you know. Put me down. Afraid I keep my own reputation intact and not say anything. You see how sneaky it is? It's so sneaky. And sometimes pride can keep us from, because it doesn't bring us all those happy feelings, from really being willing to listen closely to the Word of Yahweh and apply it to our lives. And so, but we've got to look at Yahweh's Word and say, you know what, it's not really worth it to ignore any part of it. Go ahead and allow myself to be uncomfortable. Allow myself to examine myself and allow Him to examine me, and say, you know what, I want to hunger and thirst for what's right, even if it's uncomfortable. Even if it kind of hurts my ego. Especially if it hurts my ego. Right? And so, it's not always easy to look at Scripture and say, boy, that really hits home. It hits hard. Because we've tied in our self-worth to our performance. Another root of pride. You got this self-worth issue. You don't feel worthy. And yet pride comes in to protect you from that. How does that happen? Well, because you don't feel you have worth and value, you feel like you got to exalt yourself so that you do. And that's not the answer. Yahshua decided our worth 2,000 years ago. Like I said last night, he said, you're worth the price of my own blood. That's locked in. You can't change it. Nobody can change it. He's already decided, and the potter decides the value of the pot. Right? Not you. Not the world. Him. And he thought you were worth saving. And so you don't have to wonder about your worth and value. It's locked in. And so don't try to compensate with this pride to say, I have to make myself worth, I got to be somebody. Truth is, He said, you already are somebody. And He proved that 2,000 years ago. So, sometimes pride will come in like, yeah, look at them people over there. Ha, 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 ha. They don't understand. And I hear people that are in Torah mocking Christians because they don't understand. And laughing at the whole thing. And Yahweh probably is in heaven going, you don't understand, son. There's things you don't understand, and there's things, yeah, they don't understand, and there's things you don't understand. Get off your high horse. And so there's a danger of this denominationalism that says, I've arrived. This is it. I've got my ticket punched. I'm in. I've got my tassels on. I keep my Shabbat. I've got the feast days, and I eat clean. Ticket punched. No. No. Yahweh's not done pointing things out to you. You got to change just because you come into Torah. Pride, oh, it's rampant among us. And then denominations are like, come to us, we've got the answers. Those outside of group, not so much. But we've got it. Chest stuck out, nose in the air, we've got it. And come to our congregation, come to our church, because we've got it over here. We got it going over here. Over there, not so much. We got it going over here. It's all pride. I say forget denominations, forget organizations, forget who does what. We have our own personal journey to attend to. There are some people who are like, well, my pastor this, and my pastor that, my pastor this. Well, what team are you on? There's the Steelers, and there's the Colts, and there's the Rams. And they're all competing. Who's got the best pastor? Who's got the best team? Do you hear that? It's there. It's pride. It really is. It's pride. And so I just think we've got to focus on our own personal journey. We've got to be asking Yahweh, what do you want me to change personally? What do I have to change? And pride can actually keep us from seeing what we got to change. We think we're doing pretty good. I think we're doing all right. Especially people of older generation, you know, they tend to be retired believers. You know, I've fought the fight. I've done what I got to do. Now I'm just going to coast into the kingdom. The truth is, a lot of times when you're in your older years, Yahweh is going to revisit those things you didn't overcome when you were younger and say, how's it doing there, buddy? How's it going? I'm going to revisit this. Remember this when you were 40 years old? And you didn't overcome it, and I scaled back, but I'm going to bring it back to the surface again, and we're going to see how you do. So this pride thing, it's very elusive, because it's your pride that can keep you from recognizing your own pride. Isn't that sneaky? Your pride keeps you from recognizing your pride. Now what are you going to do? The Holy Scriptures warn us even about exalting yourself. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you've devised evil, put your hand on your mouth. Zip. Wait a minute. I just exalted myself. Are we that attentive to our own pride that we go, oh, wait a minute, I just exalted myself with what I just said? I remember when I was in first grade, whenever one of the kids would be doing something wrong, all the other kids would go, oh, like this, oh, I'm telling, you know. So when you've exalted yourself, say to yourself, oh, right? Just a word. And this very much relates to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Paul said, your glorying is not good. Do you not know just a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Just a little glorying, a little haughtiness, a little pride, and you've leavened the whole lump. It's ugly. Therefore, because of this, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, Gotta get rid of the old lump. Since you truly are unleavened, Yahshua unleavened you. For indeed Messiah, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. So you've got to get rid of this glorying here. I see it all the time. I notice it. And because I, about the time I think I've gotten this pride thing, you know, under control, Yahweh goes, oh, right there. Okay, I'll work on that one now. Now, Yahweh's very patient. He's not standing over you with a stick. What he's doing is, Yahshua's in the lead, and he's just saying, come forward, follow me. We make a decision, we're going to follow him or not. And he was meek and lowly of heart. We find rest in that. But this new leavened, this new loaf he wants to create is an unleavened loaf, one that does not glory over anything. Because the truth is, if we really have this new covenant Torah in our hearts, if we've got it there, and we do, in Messiah Yahshua, that law is going to go, look here, look over here. Look what's in this heart over here. It's not always good. If you think you're doing pretty well, you're probably not listening closely enough. If you think you're doing pretty well, listen closer. And pride's one of those areas, it's like my fallback. I think I'm doing okay. And then I'm like, oh, this over here. It's like a fallback. Keeps me humble, doesn't it? That exposure of your pride can keep you humble. I remember also, Yahshua said in Luke chapter 12, verse 1, in the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled on one another, that he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you've spoken in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. Can't hide it. Yahweh is going to expose it anyway. So you might as well deal with it. This hypocrisy he's talking about here, this works that they do to be seen by men. All their works is to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the tassels. Actually, the Hebrew has, Greek has tassels of their garments. Big old honking tassel hanging down. I'm really focused on the commandment, guys. Look at me. Big old rope swinging as I walk by, right? But they love the best places in the feast, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi. What is your Rabbi? Yahshua. Now, some think, oh, well, you know, he's not against you being called Rabbi. I mean, that's just, it means teacher. You know the Hebrew word, you ever heard Todah Rabbah? Thank you very much. The Rabbah part is the very much. The Todah is the thank you. The Rabbah is the same word as Rabbi, Rabbi, Rabbi. So when you say Rabbi, you're saying, my great one. My great one. Oh, my great one. I'm not going to call some guy in Judaism my great one. I'm not going to call someone Messianic Judaism my great one. I don't care who they are. Except for Yahshua, he's my great one. He's my great one. And people say, well, no, they weren't saying you can't do that. And they have their reasons for it. And their ideas for it. And then, he says, don't call anyone on earth your father. One is your father. He was in heaven. Isn't that ironic? In Judaism, they call their leaders rabbis. And in Catholicism, they call them leaders father. Even the word pope comes from papa. Popa. Papa. Father. So he's not my pope either. He's not. And so, I mean, listen to me. Name one disciple, name one apostle that ever called themselves rabbi or father. Not there. No one said Father Paul, Father Peter, or Rabbi Shaul, Rav Shaul. I hear that all the time. Not one time, nowhere. It's strictly in two religions that are very faulty. And so he says, don't be called teachers. Don't be calling me Teacher Tom. I've heard that some few times. Don't call me Teacher Tom. He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. Listen, I understand the desire to show respect to those who teach the word of Yahweh. But you know, they could be in worse shape than you, because they got the stricter judgment. Yeah. Remember when I first read that scripture, don't many be called teachers. I don't want to be a teacher then. I don't want stricter judgment. I got it bad enough just trying to keep my head on straight without getting stricter judgment. What am I doing here anyway? I don't know. Yahweh puts the spirit in you. You can't shut up. So we're told to beware of this leavening, this hypocrisy leavening. Are we the same person at home that we are in public? Are there things that we'd be ashamed of if people knew and how we act at home? Watch out for that pride, brothers and sisters. It's kind of funny. You'll see someone like, you know, I just have this anger problem and I can't seem to solve it. And him and two husband and wife in a shouting match, company shows up. All of a sudden, they're all calm. They got perfect self-control now that company's here. You can overcome anger. Pride is an amazing motivator. It even helps stop you from sinning in front of somebody because you don't want them to see. Am I talking to anybody here? Out there? Somewhere? What did Yahweh say? Pride goes before a fall? Nope. Never says that. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. So, a haughty spirit is you just get a little haughty, and Yahweh goes back down again. But if it's pride, it's utter destruction. So just get a little bit of a haughty spirit, Yahweh going to knock you down. But pride, look out, that's a path of destruction. That's even worse. And so better be of a humble spirit with the lowly, then divide the spoil with the proud. Your company you keep, that can make a big difference in where you are in this area, the company you keep. I used to enjoy being around a man named Richard, his wife Teshua. They were very in tune with where their pride was. And just being around them exposed things in me I needed to have exposed. I was kind of young, my 20s. A lot of pride there. Kind of miss them sometimes. Like to be around them some more. They're still around. But they're very good at just seeing it. So I'm looking for that humble spirit. It's not always easy to find it in the midst of everything. And if you're around a bunch of people exalting themselves, then the tendency is to want to try to make yourself match with the group, you know. And so you've got to be careful about that. And so it said here how deceptive pride is. Obadiah 1:3, the pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I'll bring you down. You think you can out him? No way. You can make your nest among the stars. He'll bring you down from there too. But that's a good thing. We need that. We need it. Let him bring us down. He's got to bring us down, then we got to be brought down. That's okay. Because it's good for us. You kind of see space stations up there nesting around the stars. But Yahweh has a habit of humbling the proud, and that's a good thing. You got to accept it and say, yeah, well, that's good. You know, he doesn't even like a prideful look. Just a countenance. It's a prideful countenance. These six things Yahweh hates, Proverbs 6:16. Yes, seven are abomination to him. A proud look. A lying tongue. Notice all these have to do with different body parts. The way your face is, the way your tongue is. Hands shed innocent blood. And then the heart devising wicked plans. And then the feet that are swift to running to evil. And the false witness speaking lies. And with that, sowing discord among brethren. Kind of all started right here. Proud look. I see men on Facebook sometimes exalting themselves with sunglasses on. I'm a tough guy. It's not even sunny out. Why you got sunglasses on? We all know. A proud look. We all know. And so it starts there, and it ends in a really bad place, which is sowing discord. And pride does a lot of that. I'll be talking about that in part two. Sowing discord. Why does Yahweh hate the pride so much? Why? Why does he hate it so much? Some say, I'm proud to be an American. Well, you're prideful for it. You were born there. You couldn't help it. Did you do something to become one? What's so great about being one? I'm not saying it's wrong to be glad you're here. Pride, I would say, I know what people are saying. I'm proud of you, son. What you're saying is, I'm really glad I'm your dad, and you're my son, and I am pleased with what you're doing. I understand that part of it. Maybe we need to find a better way to say it. But I get it. You're not ashamed to be the father of this daughter or this son, and that's a good thing. But, you know, Yahweh, we got to understand, Yahweh creates the heavens and the earth, and us, and all there is around us. He has given man everything he has from the beginning of creation. What have we done? We shook our fist at him. We rebelled against him. We didn't even make ourselves. We cannot do a single thing apart from him. Not a single thing. Every breath we take, we're borrowing from him. We take the oxygen away and we don't give it back. We use it. We're consumers. Our heart beats by his mercies, and yet the world acts as if he doesn't even exist. Yahweh even sends his own son to die for us on the tree, and some are too prideful to even accept that. I remember Job, all the awful things that happened to him. All these things, and these men show up. Miserable comforters show up. They usually show up whenever you're in misery. Whenever you're in misery, your grief, miserable comforters find their way into your life. Okay? And they test you. They test you. Well, these miserable comforters show up, and they think, you've done something wrong to deserve this, Job. You've done something somewhere. You had to have done something. That's why this is happening to you. And Job's like, I haven't done anything. And Job was right, because Yahweh kept bragging on him, saying, ever seen anybody like Job, Satan? He fears Elohim and hates evil. And he was right, but Job got a little haughty, a little bit of a haughty spirit. And so Yahweh shows up in a tornado and says, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now, prepare yourself like a man, Job. I will question you, and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Where were you? I don't recall seeing you there, Job. Where were you? You think you know so much. You think you're so great. I don't remember seeing you there. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. You got it figured out. Who stretched a line upon it, Job? And Job just had to put his hand on his mouth, right? I've exalted myself. I put my hand in my mouth. And I repent in dust and ashes. And that was the right response. That's the right response. Yahweh spends the next two chapters declaring his worthiness and Job's littleness. Got a little haughty, a little prideful. I'd say, you know, in every situation of our life, Yahweh knows what he's doing. He's got it figured out. He knows what he's doing. And our inability to even come close to his might and power, I mean, think about it. One thing happens which causes something else to happen, which causes that to happen, with this to happen. And Yahweh's trying to answer all these prayers, millions of them are coming up, in such a way that accomplishes his purposes. I mean, you ever thought about this? Go back in your life and think, see, if that wouldn't happen, I wouldn't have got that job there, and I would have met this person. I wouldn't have even met my wife. I wouldn't even have these children. We stop and think about that. Just the smallest little thing would have been different, and your life would have been totally different. And Yahweh has all this stuff planned out and figured out for you. And so we've got to be careful about pridefully questioning circumstances. And why this happened? Why is this going on? Yahweh, who hears every prayer of every person, knows exactly how to answer the prayers that need to be answered in the way and the time he wants to answer it. And we have to humble ourselves and accept his will for us. Yahweh gives, Yahweh takes away. I don't have to understand everything. He does. I wasn't there when he created the heavens and the earth and set all this in motion, and I wasn't there. And you think, well, this all happened to me. I didn't deserve any of this. And so then accusing spirits come along. You know, but I never saw Job go, you Sabians, you Chaldeans. He's like, Yahweh gives, Yahweh takes away. He didn't get bitter at people, exalt himself over them, call out conspiracy theorists. Let's go figure this out. It was all Yahweh, right? So if we are believers, whatever happens to us is actually for our benefit, for our good. We have to trust that and not get all haughty in questioning everything. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's got the big picture figured out. So sometimes we'll go through trials, and in those trials, sometimes that trial has one purpose, to humble you. That's it, to humble you. You're getting a little haughty, getting a little too big for your britches there, buddy. And so I'm going to humble you in this situation. It's better to be humbled now than, you know, Malachi 4. What does it say? The day of Yahweh is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud. Yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says Yahweh of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. You shall go out, actually says leap in the Hebrew, like stall-fed calves. You don't want to wait for them to be humbled. Rather be humbled now. It's better to be humbled now. When the day of Yahweh comes, everything that's high will be brought low. Everything low will be lifted up. So if we're high now, Yahweh will have to humble us. And we don't want that to happen. So stay humble now. And recognize, no, Psalm 100, Yahweh, he's Elohim, it's he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And that's the problem. Evolution says, oh, we made ourselves. We did it. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Don't make a monkey out of yourself, right? I don't care how long you stare at a rock, it's not going to turn into a banana. It's definitely not going to turn into a human. So Yahweh gave us life. You know, Scripture says there's one kind of person who is in a worse condition than a fool. You know who it is? Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Of all the things that Proverbs say about the fool, including the one who says there's no Elohim, he's a fool, right? The one who's in worse condition is the one who's wise in his own eyes. Wow. Even a fool can stop their foolishness. He can turn away from foolishness. But someone who's wise in their own eyes, they'll never see their foolishness. They'll never see their own sin. They're too wise in their own eyes to see their sin. And so they can't like change because they got it all figured out. And that's the problem. And so Romans 12:16 says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. I've learned a hard lesson in my life with Yahweh is to associate myself with humble men. You can't really usually rehabilitate prideful men. Associate yourself with humble men. In the past I have, I could see it. And I'm not trying to say I'm better than them. I just, when I recognize it, it's a little flag that comes up. Because they're minded in a certain direction, you're competition. You're not their friend. You're competition for them. They have to be top dog for them to have any worth or value is what their mind is. If they're not top dog, then in their view, the view is always the same. You know, the last dog in the dog sled. The view is always the same. And they don't want to be there. And so they're going to compete with you, and they're going to try and knock you down eventually. First, they're all excited. They speak highly of you, and they're all caught up in this world of who's the greatest. Same world that Yahshua warned his disciples not to be in. And so, if you associate yourself with the humble, you don't get drawn into this who's the greatest argument and all that, okay? And even, I like what he says here, don't set your mind on high things, you know. I watch people on discussion groups and social media argue about things back and forth and back and forth for days and days and days over things that neither one of them can prove. It's all about who's got the best smarts to figure this thing out and present the best possible theory. And nobody can prove anything. I got a call the other day, something like that. What do you think about this? Well, Shroud of Turin. What I think about the Shroud of Turin? Nobody can prove it, so why waste my time on it? Why form an opinion over what could be wrong? And then I say, this is my opinion, this is why I think it's right, and I'm spreading a false report now. Now I'm walking in some kind of a sin, I'm spreading a false report. And I just don't know. Is it okay for us to say we don't know? Yes, it's okay. Be the humble guy and say, I just don't know. I don't think we can know. So unless there's something I can know, why spend and consume all this time over what you can't know? So don't set your mind on these high things everybody's into, and it almost becomes whoever can figure it out is a smart guy, and we'll just go along with what he said. You know, let's not get into this thing. And so people that are wise in their own conceit, you know, if they don't win, they'll knock you down. If you present a good case for something, they're just going to whip and try to knock you down. Go ad hominem, they call it. You know, they cannot defeat what you're saying, and so they're going to defeat you. They can't shoot the message, they'll shoot the messenger. So don't get caught up on all that stuff. You see a conversation going that direction, just don't go there. And if we think we've been revealed something, well, just say, you know, I could be wrong. Maybe I didn't understand something properly. You know, what it, if someone revealed something to us, and we're like, oh, that really defeats my theory, my understanding of Scripture. Can we be humble enough to say, Scripture must correct me? Or are we going to cleave to this idea we have? And even if we think we've got all the right ideas, I imagine there will be some people, I'm not sure, but there's some people, Yahweh's going to come along and say, my calendar was this. And they're going to respond with, but the Bible says, wait, he wrote the Bible, right? So they got this idea and they're stuck with it and they're not going to change it, whatever it might be. So we've got to allow, be humble enough to allow Yahweh's word to change us, to correct us. When there's something that we believe and there's a scripture that contradicts it, we have a problem. Now, some people will actually say, well, that was messed with, that was changed, or that was. No, that's not the problem. The problem is you, not that. See how far pride can take you? You're going to stick to this one thing, and the Bible itself is wrong. Guess what? You're your own Bible. That's prideful. That's arrogance. Every word of Elohim is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you, you be found a liar. Whoa. Don't add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Think about that. If I'm up here and I'm adding to his word at all, I'm a liar. Whoa. When our thoughts are consumed on our own personal revelation, sometimes even the word itself can't get us out of our zone. And that's a real problem. That's a real problem. We've got to get this leavening out. The book of James even talks about pridefulness in our heart and the way we speak. He says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if Yahweh wills, we'll be alive then. We won't be dead. We shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. It's arrogant to say, oh yeah, today or tomorrow we're going to go to this city over here and we're going to spend a year there or so, buy, sell, make a little money on that. And such a casual conversation. And the scripture here, James is telling you, you are arrogant, sir. You are arrogant, man. Because you don't know whether you're going to live tomorrow. You don't know whether you're going to live another minute. How's that for a humbling? When our thoughts are consumed on our own selves, we have a tendency to not think, wait a minute, put things in perspective. My life is just a mist of comes up for a minute and it's gone. Make sure I give credit where credit's due. Hey, you know, if Yahweh wills and I'm still alive tomorrow, I'm gonna do this. So just say, Yahweh will, my plan, or I found myself it's easier to say, my plan is to do this. If it don't happen, well, my plan failed, but it was my plan. It still was my plan. But it's easier to say, I'm planning this, than to say, I will be here tomorrow and I will do this. I don't know whether I'll be here tomorrow and I'll do that. I don't know. And James says it's arrogant to even say you're going to do this. Boy, talk about we need an adjustment, don't we? I mean, I hear it all the time. In my own mouth, I hear it sometimes. Yahweh, help us all. So, You might think it's, oh, well, okay. Don't just let this pass by, because he says that such boasting is what? Evil. It's evil to talk that way. Evil to talk that way. Everything we do, we need to do for him. It's by his mercies we live and breathe and have our being. And so we've got to take inventory here. Remember who we are and remember who he is. He says, I am Yahweh, that is my name, my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. My glory I will not give to another. And whatever we are doing, what's it for? Whatever you're doing, what's it for? Who's it for? Whatever you do, Colossians 3:23, do it heartily as to Yahweh and not to men. Knowing that from Yahweh you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Master Messiah. Whatever you are doing, it's not for you or for someone else, it's for him. Whatever you do is for him. Do we have that perspective? Is that where we're at? It's where we need to be. Whatever we're doing, it's for him. And so that's the frame of mind that we operate in. So often we're consumed with trying to build our own reputation or own ideas or whatever, and we're not keeping things in perspective. I like David, especially David's early years. His early years, he just had this heart that I love to study. Like when he was facing Goliath, David said to the Philistine, well, you come to me with a sword and spear and javelin? That's nothing. That's nothing. All your bullets, all your stuff, it's nothing. Because I come to you in the name of Yahweh of hosts, the mighty one of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. He didn't boast in himself. He didn't say, I'm really good at this, you know, this sling and stone thing. I mean, it's like, it's going to come out and it's going to knock you in the head. He didn't say that. He said, you come to me with this equipment here, but I'm coming to you in Yahweh's name. You're toast, man. It's over. I could just look at you and you could knock over if Yahweh willed. It's that simple. Don't need my sling and my stone at all. And then we have the example, even Saul was that way at first. You know, it says that he was little in his own eyes at one point. He was hiding among the equipment, you know. I think his shyness might have been pride, though. Hiding among the equipment because they wouldn't, you know, exalt him. And so there's multiple examples of this in Scripture. But Moshe, he was very humble. It says, more than all the men who are on the face of the earth. I presume Moses didn't write this part. It's in parentheses. But he was a very meek man, very humble man. And because he was a humble man, Yahweh could use him. He's not looking for a few good men, because there are none. He's looking for people that are humble enough to be used by him and not exalt themselves when they are. That's who he's looking for. And so Moshe was one of them. Very humble. And the one time he kind of slipped, he said, must we bring forth water from the rock, ye rebels? And it was over. You're not going in. You're not leading these people in. I must be seen as holy because I am holy. You just exalted yourself there, Moshe. Even the meekest man, the most humble man, lost it for a second, got a haughty spirit. And so he fell in that moment, failed. So, and then we know Saul, I mentioned it earlier, he said, when you were little in your own eyes, when you were little in your own eyes, weren't you the head of the tribes of Israel? And now you're going to make this monument to yourself. You know, look what I did. I defeated Amalek. No. I did it through you, Saul. You didn't do it. Another example of a leader in pride. On a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." Then immediately the angel of Yahweh struck him. Why? Because he did not give glory to Elohim. Whew. And he was eaten by worms and died. What happened to the word of Yahweh? It grew and multiplied. You get in his way, he can wipe you like a dish. That quick. You've got to give glory to Yahweh for whatever you do. All praise to Yahweh. Good message, Tom. Praise Yahweh. It's his word, not mine. It's just not. Why would I take the credit for a message that's his message? Why would I, if I have a gift of teaching, why would I take the credit for it? He gave me the gift, right? Why would I take the credit for a gift he gave? Be like, I give a gift to the child. Everyone's exalting the child because the gift they got there. You know, who made the gift? Who made the gift? Yahweh made the gift. So I have it. If I have a gift of teaching, I think I do, then it's Yahweh's gift. Give him the glory. If he gave it, it's, and so this is, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be eaten by worms. You know, I don't want to just be struck like, phew. So that's how dangerous it is. So here's the bottom line. Right here. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does Yahweh require of you but to do justly? That means keep Torah. Love mercy. Receive Yahshua. And then walk humbly with your mighty one. Once you've received Torah and Messiah, now you walk humbly with your mighty one. And that he'll continue to teach you. That's the Bible summed up right there. That's what he requires of you. It's that simple. Thus says Yahweh, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist. But on this one I will look, on him who is a poor and a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Anyone here ever one time literally trembled at his word? That's the level of response he wants from us. Reminded of a story. This is back in the early 2000s. We had these Unity conferences every year. And this man walks in with a briefcase in his hand, like he walked into a saloon, you know, standing there. And he looks around the room, and someone says, "What's going on?" That's actually the guy that was giving the teaching. He goes, "What's, sir?" He goes, "I've got enough knowledge in this briefcase to blow this place apart." He says, "What, you got a bazooka?" He had been spending his time getting, you know, all this knowledge. And that knowledge didn't do anything but puff him up. What good is the knowledge unless that knowledge is leading you to a place of humility and love? Because the purpose of the knowledge is not to exalt yourself, it's love. And so if you want to be taught by Yahweh, you got to be in this spot right here. Poor and contrite spirit. And sometimes there's a tendency, and I see it among us sometimes, conversations will drift toward who we're against more so than who we're for. You understand what I'm saying? People gather, and they all talk about, this is their camaraderie. This is the camaraderie is, we're not like Sunday-keeping Christians. We are this over here. And they all have their little thing. Yeah, ha. My Aunt Joey, Uncle Joey said this the other day, and within a dumb argument, and blah, blah, blah. And it becomes this club of who we're not. You know? And this is not what we're supposed to be. It's not about who we're not. It's about who we're for and who we whose side that we are on. And so they lift themselves up, and we're the haves and they're the have-nots. And I would caution us against that very, very much, because maybe that Christian down the road that you mock and ridicule for not keeping Shabbat or eating, you having a pork roast on Shabbat, the guy that you mock and ridicule, he wants to know truth. He just hasn't found it yet, you know? And maybe he's actually loving his enemies better than you do. And maybe he's a better dad than you are, and a better husband. And he's more truthful than you are, more humble than you are. And so he's got five or six things that is actually, he's moved higher than where you're at. And you're mocking and ridiculing because he's not where the spot you are in these other things. And so what is Yahweh saying toward you, to you in these moments? He's saying, well, except by my grace, son, I revealed this to you, you wouldn't know either. You'd be worse than he is. You wouldn't be as loving or as kind or as all the things that you failed today, and you wouldn't have the Torah and these other things that you've now been revealed. And so look, all this knowledge that we've been given, rather than being prideful, just be thankful. Just be thankful and humbled. And humbled that the Father would reveal this to you. I see this sometimes, especially conversations among men. One man will tell a story. The end result, he's exalted himself in the story, you know. And so another guy comes along, well, I got to get myself up here somewhere. He'll tell a story, and it'll be something to make him look good. And then somebody else tells a story, makes them look good. And all these guys are, what they're really in, it's the who's the greatest argument. Same thing Yahshua told us not to do. He who is greatest is the one who serves. And everyone's trying to come in and say, this is why I deserve respect. I've done this, I've done that. And then sometimes they'll even degrade a little bit, you know, to where they're putting each other down. So, and there are some people, that's their personality. You haven't met them 10 minutes, they've already put five or six people down in their past. And they're defined by who they're not. They're not these people, you see. And but what they have in themselves is this really underneath is insecurity. You know, not secure in who they are in Messiah Yahshua, and so they compensate by projecting something. And so Scripture tells us to, you know, just serve. Just serve. And focus on that. And be a blessing to others. Pour life into other people. Because the danger is, let's suppose you got a neighborhood of 14 people, and all of them are in adultery. The one guy who's not committing adultery probably thinks he's all right, because he's compared himself to others. But he's the guy who's not committing adultery as a slanderer and a liar, and he cheats at work and mistreats his children, all the while taking comfort in the fact he's not an adulterer, because everybody around him is an adulterer. You see, what does Scripture say? We dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Comparisons. Comparisons are dangerous and ugly. And it gets you nowhere. Unless you're saying, That man is very Yahshua-like in the way he conducted himself today. I would hope to be more like that. Or that man was not very Yahshua-like in the way he conducted himself. Yahweh helped me not to be that way. In fact, some of the things he kind of did, I have probably been guilty of in my past. So I really got to make sure I'm not going to do that. When we start comparing ourselves with ourselves, all this comparison game comes along, and all this angst within our heart rises up because we feel like, oh, we're not measuring up to what this group is or these people are, and I could never fit in here. I'm not good enough to fit in here, and so I'll go somewhere else where, the guys are a little bit more carnal, and I feel more comfortable over here, see? Is this true or not? You'll hang around the people you don't really make you feel so guilty, so that you don't feel guilty. And then you don't change. And since you don't change, you're not growing. And I see that all the time. And we this comparison thing, sometimes children, they grow up. Children that have been put down a lot of their life have been put down by their parents. They'll go find some group where they're not being put down, where they're actually more righteous than everyone else. They feel more comfortable, and then those people drag them down. And that's the problem. And so, all of us, including us parents, we make a mistake. We just gotta admit it. And men, when you admit it and you apologize, you might think, "Oh no, now my big bubbles burst, and they're not going to respect me anymore, and I can't lead now because I've made a mistake." Truth is, they already know your mistake, and when you're not admitting it, they lose respect for you. And when you apologize, actually, it takes this tension out of the room. He's not Mr. Perfect. He makes mistakes too, like me. Maybe I can fit in this family, Maybe I can somehow fit in this environment and be okay. Whew. And you'll gain the respect because no one's perfected yet. Nobody. Nobody. Not even Paul. Paul says, "I'm not yet perfected. This is what I do. I press on toward the goal. Press on toward the goal." And so, pride in leadership. Be aware of that. Reminded me when I was back in the 90s, and there was an air conditioning company I was working for. And there, and every company I ever worked for, there was always one guy who was the guy. The smartest technician, the best guy, the best technician. He got paid the best. And everybody kind of gravitated toward that man's leadership because he was the most well respected and best performing technician and whatnot. And so, anyway, the company was kind of flailing a little bit, and the guy that was the top dog there come to me and goes, "Here's what you do, Tom. You find a company that doesn't have really good smart technicians and go work there. You always have respect." I said, "Oh, but then I'll never grow. I got nobody to learn from." He's like, "Oh, well, I got what he was saying. I got it." But we can't do our religion or our faith that way. We want to purposely be around people that make us uncomfortable by their conduct. Purposely, we want to be around them. Because, yeah, and maybe they'll not be perfect and you'll be able to pick them apart and go, "Well, yeah, they got this over here, but they don't have this over here." And maybe that make your conscience ease a little bit because they got imperfections that you can pick apart, This is why leaders are often picked apart, because they're making you feel guilty by what they're doing or acting or what they're teaching. And so if you can find some fault with them, then somehow, some way, you feel better about yourself. Because now the pressure's off. Oh, well, they've got this over here, but really, I saw this the other day, or this goes on. I don't like how they do this. And if you can criticize them successfully, your conscience isn't hounding you anymore. I'm quite aware of that. I've been in ministry 30 years. I am quite aware of that. I don't bother me. Pick me apart if you want to. Hey, I want to know. Where am I going wrong? What am I doing wrong? Tell me, please. Whatever it might be, that's all right. But that leaven of pride hinders your spiritual growth because now you're not around people that challenge you anymore. You're not around people that challenge you anymore. And so here's what you got to do. Intentionally surround yourself with the kind of people that have the fruit that you want to see in yourself. And you will learn how to bring that fruit into your own life, into your own heart. And you'll catch the little nuances and little things that they do, and you go, oh, okay, all right. Years ago, 20 years ago, I wasn't the best leader in my household. And I found somebody who had a really good leadership quality. And I wanted to learn from that. Well, I went there and I just watched him, and I learned a lot just by watching him. And it caused me to change my leadership style. That's what we want. We've got to look for people who have the character we're looking for and learn, not run away from, but learn. So back to our scripture. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know just a little leaven, leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out this old leaven. Anything I said today speak to anybody? I wrote this message for me, but. Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Messiah, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let's keep the feast. Not with the old leaven. Get rid of that old leaven. Nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And remember, if you want to be guided into all truth, the humble He guides in justice, and the humble, He teaches His way. And the more humble you are, the more you're going to learn. And the more you're going to learn, the more loving you're going to be, I hope. Not more puffed up, but more loving. Because the purpose of every command in Scripture is love. From a pure heart, from a sincere faith, from which some have strayed, want to be teachers of the law. And they don't understand what they're saying or affirming because they don't understand the purpose of the command is love. So we're going to talk next week a little bit more. We're going to talk about how pride is involved in anger, in some forms of leadership, some family life, other contexts we're going to talk about next week. But if there's anything I've said to you today that has convicted you, encourage you, spend time in prayer and contemplation. Don't be like, yeah, great message, and then out one in one ear, out the other, my dad used to say. No, let it go into your heart and produce fruit. And get this leavening out. Get this leavening out. That you may be a new lump. And because just a little leaven makes the whole thing leavened, doesn't it? Yahweh, help us. Let's pray. Almighty Yahweh, in the name of your Son, Yahshua HaMashiach, we want to be humble men and women that honor you and worship you. You alone are worthy of honor and praise and glory and majesty. Reveal to us our own hearts. Show us any leavening, any pride, anything. We want to grow, Father. Help us to check our motives, to have a continual awareness of this tendency that is in our hearts. that is not righteous. Forgive us, have mercy on us, and help us as your people to not be tolerant of even a little leaven in our lives. We want to be this new lump, that unleavened lump that Messiah Yahshua creates in us. Teach us your ways as we humble ourselves before you. And if there's anyone that's out of my voice who's never committed their life to you, just too prideful, too stuck in their own ways, but they're ready to commit their life to you, hear their prayer, hear their cry, as they repent and put their trust in Yahshua HaMashiach for the forgiveness of sin. We thank you there's a promise that you will never turn someone who does that away. We know and we are sure, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory and majesty forever and ever. In Yahshua's great name we pray. Amen.